దక్షిణామూర్తయే నమః. ఓం గురుభ్యో నమః. ఓం పరబ్రహ్మణే నమః. ఓం నమో భగవతే శ్రీరమణాయ. మై డియర్ ఫ్రెండ్స్, అట్ ది అవుట్సెట్ ఐ మస్ట్ కన్ఫెస్ దట్ ఎ వెరీ వెరీ ఆర్డినరీ పర్సన్ లైక్ మీ లాక్స్ బోత్ ది క్రెడిబిలిటీ అండ్ ది కంపిటెన్స్ టు introduce someone of the stature of Swami Sarvalokananda-ji. On the face of it, it smacks of impertinence, if not outright irreverence. All the same, the compulsion, the occasion has made me make this communication. Swamiji himself does not like any introduction. The moment we try to do that, his immediate reaction is, Hum jaise sanyasiyon ko परिचय की कोई जरूरत नहीं है, हम जैसे हैं वैसे हैं, छोड़ दो. अर्थात वी मॉन्क्स डू नॉट रिक्वायर एनी इंट्रोडक्शन, वी आर व्हाट वी आर, लीव इट. बट व्हाट अ प्रोफाउंड ट्रूथ दैट इज, वी आर व्हाट वी आर. इन अदर वर्ड्स, आई एम व्हाट आई एम, और इन शॉर्ट जस्ट आई एम, अहम. दैट्स द स्पिरिट इन विच Swamiji leads his daily life from day to day. A holy man of medicine, he has devoted his entire life to that cause in the Ramakrishna Mission Order, wherever he has worked for the last more than 40 years. He's an extempore speaker. The credit with him is that he speaks out of his heart. He doesn't mince words. He is very frank, forthright. At the same time, with a very subtle sense of humor, he regales the audience. The taste of the pudding is in having it. That's what they say. So without much ado, may I now request Swamiji to address this august audience. Swamiji, please.
Niranjanam nityam anantarupam bhaktanukampaditabhigraham vai ఈశావతారం పరమేశమిధ్యం తమరామకృష్ణం శిరసా నమామ. జననీం శారదాంగ దేవీం రామకృష్ణం జగద్గురుం పాదపద్మే తయో స్థిత్వా ప్రణమామి ముహుర్ముహు. నమ శ్రీయతిరాజాయ వివేకానందసూరయ సచ్చిత్సుఖస్వరూపాయ స్వామినే తాపహారిణే. ఓం సహనా భవతు, సహనో భునక్తు, సహ వీర్యం కరవావహై తేజస్వినావధీతమస్తు మా విద్విషావహై. ఓం శాంతి శాంతి శాంతి.
డివోటీస్, స్పిరిచువల్ అస్పైరెంట్స్, ladies and gentlemen present here, my salutation to Bhagavan Ramana Maharshi and Ramakrishna Paramahamsa. Since my joining to Ramakrishna Mission as a monastic, I had intense desire to visit Ramana Maharshi Ashrama. I expressed it to the devotees of Ramana Maharshi in Mumbai, and they have kindly made all arrangements for my coming here. That is how I am here today to be with you all. Dear devotees, when I enter the gate of this ashrama, I strongly felt calm and quiet, serene atmosphere, charged with the spiritual vibration. and I am sure whoever comes to this ashrama feel the same thing. There is a saying in the scripture that Tirthi Kurvanti Tirthani, who make a place holy and pilgrimage, the devotees, the spiritual aspirant, the spiritual giant, they make a place holy and spiritual vibrant. All of you know that Sri Ramana Maharshi spent, I think, nearly 50 years in this Arunachal hill, and he is elevating spiritual thought current has percolated all over this Arunachal hill, but his thought was so powerful that it crossed the boundary of Arunachalam, and it has spread and spread and spread to the whole mankind. Dear devotees, Sri Ramakrishna and Ramana Maharshi are two spiritual giants. They did not preach anything new. The both of them preached the universal truth according to the need of the age. It is called in Sanskrit Juga Prayojana. Juga Prayojana, according to the need of the age. Both two spiritual giants preached the universal truth according to the need of the age. And what actually they preached? What is the universal truth? You must clearly understand it, and all of us should have clear understanding of it. What is this universal truth? The truth which exists forever, which is permanent in nature, which doesn't undergo any change. And that is called the universal truth. Not only Ramana Maharshi or Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, but saints and sages of all the ages preach the same thing, the one truth, the universal truth. In the Vedas and Upanishad, it is beautifully mentioned that ekam sat vipra bahuda badanti. The truth is one, but sages call it by different names. Universal truth proclaims the real nature of all being, whether it is living being or non-living being. What is the real nature, what is the real identity or real entity, particularly of human being. But unfortunately, due to our ignorance and illusion, we have mistaken this physical body, or other words we can say body-mind complex, the real identity and real entity, the real nature. And due to this wrong notion about the real nature of human being, we all suffer. We undergo all kind of suffering, misery, worries, anxieties, strain and stress, mental tension because of our mistaken entity. What is the real nature of human being? Time and again it is proclaimed by our saint and seers. Ramana Maharshi has realized it. What is the real nature, or real identity, or real entity of a human being? This wrong notion about the real nature and real identity, we are suffering from a kind of fear psychosis. All of us undoubtedly suffer from fear psychosis. What is that fear that we suffer? That fear psychosis is nothing but the fear of death. The fear of death is the greatest fear on this earth. Bhartahari ji in his Vairagya Shatakam nicely pointed out that everything, whatever material thing or worldly thing we see around us, is permeated with fear. And is very nicely said and rightly pointed out that sarva vastu bhayannitam, everything you will find fear, 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 fear. He said, bhoge roga bhayam. There is a fear of roga in enjoyment. If you have wealth, money, you will have fear. The fear of theft and robbery. But nowadays, there is no fear of theft and robbery, but there is a fear of income tax raid or CBI inquiry or CBI probe. If you have youth and beauty, always you will have fear of old age. You will have fear whether your hair is turning grey or not. There is wrinkles on your face or not. So always there is a fear. If you are a knowledgeable person, learned person, you have fear of your competitor, Vadi. It is in Sanskrit, it is called Vadi. So everything, material, all worldly things, is permeated with fear. But how to get rid of this fear? And this fear comes from the wrong notion, the mistaken notion about our real self, about our real nature, our real identity. Dear friends, in this context, it reminds me an incident, a very interesting incident. It is a mythological incident. Once great devotee Narada went to great sage Sanat Kumara, and Narada prayed to Sanat Kumara, "Oh venerable sir, Please teach me. Please tell me something. Because after mastering all subject on the earth, I am feeling one kind of void in me, one kind of emptiness in me. So teach me something, tell me something, so that I can get rid of this void or this emptiness in me. Then Sanat Kumara said, look my boy, first you tell me what you know. Then Narada made a huge list of the subject. The subject, all subject on the earth. Science, arts, geometry, geography, astrology, astronomy, dance, music, everything, what not. Then he submitted the huge list to Sage Sanat Kumara. Sanat Kumara went through the huge list and he got satisfied and said, very good, you have mastered all the subject on the earth, you are a knowledgeable person, in spite of that you are not getting peace of mind, you are feeling an emptiness and void in you. But because you have not known one thing, this one truth, you have not known the universal truth. And what is that universal truth? That you have not known yourself. You have not known yourself. You may master all the subject. Dear devotees, the fear of death, it is the greatest fear on the earth. All of you know, all of you have read the life of Ramana Maharshi. At a young age, Ramana Maharshi also felt the fear of death. The tremendous fear of death overpowered young boy Ramana Maharshi. And he experienced the tremendous fear of death. But at the same time he realized that death is pertaining to my body, or beyond this death is there is something which is not pertaining or relating to the birth and death. And a great Ramana Maharshi realized that beyond this physical body, the body-mind complex, there is something, some truth, that is your real nature, that is your real identity, that is your self. It's called self-realization. The fear of death is, as I said, is a greatest death, greatest fear. Take the example of Arjuna. If you read Bhagavad Gita, you'll find Arjuna also had the fear of death. When Arjuna went to battlefield of Kurukshetra to fight with his cousins Kaurava, he was totally perplexed, totally dejected. He became totally nervous. He became totally mentally or physically broken. Why it happened so? Arjuna was not an ordinary person like us. Arjuna was a great warrior. He was the best archer of his time. It is called Dhanuradhara. Arjuna never seen defeat in his life, but such a great personality like Arjuna, he also experienced the fear of death. Not fear of death of himself, but the fear of death of his cousins, his grandfather Bhishma Pitamaha, his Acharya Drona and Kripacharya, his relatives and near and dear ones. Arjuna is telling Bhagavan Krishna, how can I kill them? They are our respectable person. How can I kill them? How can I kill my grandfather, my teachers, my near dear ones, my cousins, my relatives? How can I kill them? If I kill them, it will incur sin. That is why I am not going to fight. I will not fight, Arjuna declared in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Dear devotees, this fear of death is a tremendous fear. And Bhagavan Krishna told Arjuna, Arjuna, you do not have the knowledge of Atman. You do not have the knowledge of self. That is why you are thinking that you would kill your near dear ones, your grandfather or teachers. You cannot kill them. You can kill their physical body, but you cannot kill them actually, in reality, because they are not physical body. They are not mind or buddhi or senses or vital organs. They are beyond this. That is why in scripture it is clearly said and declared again and again. Sivoham, Sivoham, Chidananda Rupaha. You are neither body, neither senses, neither buddhi, neither ahankara, neither chitta. You are Sivoham, Sivoham, Chidananda Rupaha. You are Chidananda Rupaha. That is your real identity. That is your real nature. And unfortunately, you have forgotten our real nature. And Bhagavan Krishna practically dehypnotized Arjuna. Arjuna was hypnotized about what is called hypnotized about the real nature of a human being. And Bhagavan Krishna, as a spiritual guru, dehypnotized Arjuna. And Arjuna at last became dehypnotized and he realized that real nature, real entity of a human being is nothing but Atman or Brahman. Arjuna was having everything, all power. Arjuna had muscle power. Arjuna had power of intellect. That is in scripture it is called Bahubalam, Buddhivalam, and Vittavalam. The money power, muscle power, power of intellect. Arjuna had everything. But unfortunately, the Arjuna did not have this called Atmavalam. And Atmavalam is superior to all balam, all power on this earth. So Arjuna did not have that Atmavalam. Dear friends, the human being has some higher purpose of life. Higher purpose of life. Generally understand that the purpose of life is to eat, drink and be merry. Is dunya mein main aaya ho, khana, peena, masti, mauj karna, dunya se chale jana. This is the purpose of life, generally understand. Dear friends, there is some higher purpose of life we must understand. In this context, I like to tell you one incident happened in the life of Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa. Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa was invited by his devotee. His name is Adharchandra Sen. He was deputy magistrate. And Adar Chandra Sen invited other friends and relatives to his house because Sri Ramakrishna is coming to his house. And one of his friend was the great personality Bankim Chandra Chatterjee. Most probably you might have heard the name of Bankim Chandra Chatterjee. He was a man of literature. In those days, people used to call him Sahitya Samrat. Not only that, the Bankim Chandra Chatterjee composed our national song Bande Mataram. And Bankim Chandra was also invited to the house of Adar Chandra Sen. And Adar Chandra Sen introduced Sri Ramakrishna to Bankim Chandra Chatterjee. They are talking with each other. All of a sudden, Sri Ramakrishna asked Bankim Chandra Chatterjee, "Yes, Bankim Babu, tell me, what is the purpose of human life? What is the goal of human life?" Bankim Chandra Chatterjee, like ordinary person, he replied, "Sir, the goal of human life is nothing but ahara, nidra, maithuna, etc., etc. The goal of human life is to drink, be merry, eat, drink, and be merry." Then Sri Ramakrishna, after hearing his answer, Sri Ramakrishna got very much annoyed. He said in Bengali, "Tumi to boro chachra dekchi." In Hindi, "Mai to dekhta hu tum bahut behude ho. You are a wretched fellow. You are a great man. And you are talking that a purpose of human life is to eat, drink, and be merry. Ahara, nidra, and maithuna. That's all. What you are talking? You should not talk like this." And he said, "Sri Ramakrishna, the purpose of human life cannot be to eat, drink, and be merry. The purpose of human life or goal of human life is to realize yourself, the self-realization. This is the purpose of your life. This is the purpose of human life." Dear devotees, we talk about the self-realization. How to realize yourself? How you will realize your real nature? There are many ways, at least in Indian tradition, in the cultural tradition, religious tradition, the four paths are mentioned. And mainly they are, and most of you know, I think, that Jnana Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Karma Yoga, Raj Yoga. Swami Vivekananda used to say that each soul is the potentially divine, and to manifest that divinity within is nothing but religion and spirituality. You can manifest that divinity within by controlling your external and internal nature, by controlling your psychic power, by taking into the practice the four yogas, or by one yogas, and be free. Each soul is the potentially divine. That is very, very important. We all are divine. We are one and the same. But we see the difference apparently. This difference is relative. This difference is apparent. But essentially, we are one and the same because we are all divine. Because, as Swami Vivekananda said, each soul is a potentially divine. So how to manifest that divinity within, to realize that self? You can do it by four yogas, by synthesis of four yogas, or by one yoga. Ramana Maharshi realized the self. he had the self-realization through Jnana Marga, through Jnana Yoga. You must have clear understanding of what is Jnana Yoga. We always talk about Jnana Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Karma Yoga, Raj Yoga. Jnana Yoga means the path of knowledge, the path of discrimination, and according to Ramana Maharshi, it is called Atma Vicharaha. Atma Vicharaha. Always you have to discriminate what is Atma and what is Anatma. What is Atma and what is Anatma? Always you have to think over it. Always you have to cogitate on it. Always you have to meditate on it. And it is called a Jnana Marga, it is called a Vichara Marga. Always you have to do Vichara. Not this, not this, I am not body, I am not physical body, I am not senses, I am not buddhi, I am not chitta, I am not ahankara, I am not this material, anything. I am that supreme, that Sat-Chit Ananda, it is called in this scripture. You have to, what is called, discriminate, it is called Vichara Marga. But don't think that in Jnana Yoga, there is no bhakti, there is no karma. Why we call it Jnana Yoga? Because there is a predominance of Jnana, predominance of Vichara, that is why we called it Jnana Marga. But in a Jnana Marga also, there is a bhakti and there is a karma. Without karma and bhakti, there we cannot proceed towards a Jnana Marga. But there will be predominance of Jnana, that is called Jnana Marga. And a bhakti marga, Bhagavan Sri Ramakrishna Paramhamsa realized the self. He had what is called self-realization through bhakti. Through bhakti, intense love for God. What is bhakti? We talk about bhakti, devotion, devotion. What is bhakti? You must have clear understanding of bhakti. Bhakti is nothing but intense love for God. Pure divine love for God. That is called bhakti, that is called devotion. And Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa realized the supreme knowledge, the highest spiritual knowledge, the knowledge of self through bhakti. Ramana Maharshi, externally, he was a great jnani. He was Advaitin, pure Advaitin. But internally, he was a bhakta. If you see, read very thoroughly, he was a bhakta. Though he attained particularly highest spiritual knowledge through Jnana. Similarly, Bhagavan Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa was externally he was a bhakta, great devotee per excellence. But inwardly, internally, he was what is called Jnani. So if you see that Jnana Marga or Bhakti Marga or Karma Marga or Raja Yoga Marga, they are not competitive to each other, but they are complementary to each other. You must remember this thing. They are complementary to each other. So Ramana Maharshi or Bhagavan Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, even great Advaitin like Shankaracharya, he was a staunch Advaitin, but if you see the read the hymns he has composed on God and Goddesses, Sundari Alahari and etc. and etc. We were surprised the Advaitin can compose such a great hymns full of devotion, full of devotion. So dear friends, these four yogas are not at all competitive, but they are complementary to each other. We talk about Raja Yoga. Raja Yoga is a yoga of controlling your psychic power. Your psychic power, that is called Raja Yoga. And it is a path of meditation. Just to control over your mind. Just to have control, how to concentrate your mind. And what is the meaning of meditation? Why do you meditate? Because to concentrate our mind, that is called meditation. And Raja Yoga, nowadays we find that yoga has become a fashion. If you ask anybody where you are going, I'll go for yoga. And what kind of yoga you are doing? Particularly Raja Yoga. What kind of yoga you are doing? Just you are going to a yoga school or colleges and just we do some physical exercise, hold our breath for some time, or release our breath for some time, do some pranayama, this or that. Dear friends, the physical exercise has nothing to do with the yoga, particularly with the Raja Yoga. Nothing to do. It is very basic, primary things in Raja Yoga, this physical exercise, holding the breath, etc., etc., etc. If you read the Patanjali Yoga Sutra, the father of yoga, Patanjali, you will find the first sloka of Patanjali Yoga Sutra is Yogasya Chitta Vritti Nirodha, cessation of modification of mind. Cessation of modification of mind. Dear friends, the Raja Yoga has nothing to do with the physical exercise. We have wrong idea about it. But the Raja Yoga is related to only the mind. How to control your mind. And so that you can meditate. Meditate and meditate and meditate. Dear devotees, this Raja Yoga is nothing but the control of your psychic power. If you concentrate your mind, then you will generate a tremendous power. Through meditation, we would like to concentrate our mind. When mind is concentrated, the tremendous power is generated. I like to give an example. I think all of you might have experienced it when you were in school and colleges. What is that? The magnifying glass. If you put magnifying glass under the sun, what happens? The sun rays converge in one point. And if you put a piece of paper under the magnifying glass, then converged ray of the sun is so powerful, it burns the paper. You all might have experienced it. Dear devotees, so concentration of mind generates a tremendous power. Tremendous power. And with that power, you can do vichara. And with that power, you can realize yourself, what is your true nature and what is your true self. Dear friends, most of the time we identify ourselves with our false ego. Identify our false ego. And ego is the root of all evil. Bhagavan Sri Ramakrishna Paramhamsa used to say in Bengali, Ami mole ghuchi bhajanjal. What is that? He used to say, when the little ego, when the false ego dies away, then there will be no problem, no quarrel, no anxieties, no worries, no suffering. Because of this little ego gives us so much of trouble. And all of you are experiencing how the little ego gives us trouble. So how to get rid of this little ego so that you may become, your ego may become one with the cosmic ego. That is called cosmic ego. The prakanda amitva. It is called prakanda amitva. In according to Bhagavan Ramana Maharshi, that stained eye and unstained eye. Our eye is impure eye. Because our eye is very, very impure eye. But there is another kind of eye that is called pure eye. And when I, the ego, has become one with the cosmic ego, then that ego becomes the pure ego, the big ego, the universal ego. So we have to become one with this universal ego. But unfortunately, we are identified with our small ego, and because of this small ego, this false ego, we are suffering and suffering and suffering. That is why there is a book called Who Am I? You read this book, question answered by Bhagavan, what is called Ramana Maharshi. You discover, it is a great discovery, who I am. We have discovered so many things, the physical discovery, and every day newer and newer discovery. That discovery is the physical discovery, material discovery. But unfortunately, we have not discovered ourselves. Who am I? What is the purpose of life? Where I am to go? This is called the inquiry, the self-inquiry. You have inquired, you have to inquire. We inquire so many things. We inquire about this thing, that thing, so many worldly things, material things, but unfortunately, we have not inquired ourselves. We have not discovered ourselves. And that is called self-discovery. Discover yourself. If you discover yourself, then you will find that you are not this body, that you are not this mind, you are not the senses, you are not the buddhi, you are not the chitta, you are not the ahankara. But you are that supreme. You are that supreme. You are that Sat Chit Ananda. Everybody wants to get rid of dukkha. Everybody wants to get rid of suffering and misery. Everybody wants to have happiness. And what is happiness? Today morning I was reading Ramana Maharshi book. What is happiness? According to him, the happiness is your real nature. Hence, you should desire it. But what is wrong? It is not wrong to desire it. But what is wrong? The wrong is for seeking happiness outside, because it is not outside, it is inside. See, your very nature is Sat Chit Ananda. Your whole very nature is Sat Chit Ananda. That is being and consciousness and bliss. Ananda. You are full of Ananda. But we do not know it. We do not go to the source of Ananda, the source of happiness, the source of peace. Our real nature is source of happiness, peace, and Ananda, joy, bliss. But we do not go to the source. That is the problem. We look outside. We seek outside. We have to seek inside. If you seek inside, you will get the source of joy, bliss, happiness and peace. That is what Bhagavan Sri Ramakrishna used to say. What he used to say? He used to sing a beautiful song. Dub 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 sagore amar mon. He used to sing the song that dive deep inside in your heart. Dive deep inside. If you dive deep inside, you will get the source of joy, peace and happiness and bliss. Otherwise you won't get. But unfortunately, we seek peace, joy, happiness and bliss in outside object, in material object, in worldly object. In this context, I like to tell you one thing that is called masked deer. What deer does in the jungle? Deer runs here and there in the forest, in the jungle, in search of fragrance. In search of fragrance, from where this sweet fragrance is coming. But this ignorant, foolish deer doesn't know that fragrance is coming from his navel, kasturi, from its own navel. It doesn't know. And without knowing, the deer runs here and there in search of fragrance. Running here and there, and it gets tired and ultimately it dies. We have also the same condition. We are running here and there in search of happiness. We think that you will get some happiness there if I go to a club, if I go to a hotel, if I chat with a friend, if I get something, then we'll get peace and happiness. Dear friends, you won't get peace and happiness in outside thing, in material object. In material object you will not get it. And if you at all get peace and happiness in material object or worldly object, and that peace and happiness is a very, very impermanent in nature. Shanika, impermanent in nature. You all experience it. You all experience it. But if you want to have this called permanent peace and happiness, lasting peace and happiness, then you have to search within. We have to seek within. And if you seek within and search within, and you will get the source of peace and happiness and bliss, and that is called Satchit Ananda. That is called your real self, your real nature. We do not know our real nature, and without knowing this real nature, because due to our ignorance or due to illusion, we do not know it. And that we have to know it. And that is called self-realization. When you realize yourself, will be fully contented, will be fully satisfied, with full satisfaction and full contentment, the worldly things and material things cannot give. Only when you realize yourself that you are not a body, you are not mind, you are not senses, you are that supreme, Siboham, Siboham, Chidananda Rupaha. When you realize that supreme knowledge or attain the supreme knowledge, then you can have what is called full satisfaction and full contentment. Ramana Maharshi, Sri Ramakrishna, you see, any great spiritual leaders, how they are fully contented, fully satisfied. They did not seek anything from outside, because inside they have got everything, the full satisfaction and full contentment. So that is why the truth they have preached, whether Bhagavan Sri Ramakrishna, Ramana Maharshi or any saints and sages or spiritual giant, they have preached the truth, the universal truth, and this universal truth proclaims the real nature of all being, particularly the human being. And if human being, if a person realizes the self, then he will have not any kind of fear, whether there's a fear of what is called death or anything. So he can go beyond this fear of death and he will become deathless, he will become birthless, and he will get rid of cycle of birth and death. And the cycle of birth and death is nothing but is a great suffering, great misery. So he can get rid of it. Bhagavan Buddha, all of you know about Bhagavan Buddha. Bhagavan Buddha was born in a royal family. And when he was born, then the astrologer forecast that this prince, newborn prince, in future he will become Chakravarti Raja, or he will become a great sannyas and mendicant. Then his father got nervous. Father got perturbed. What is this? The only son, the only prince, he will become sannyasin. Then what he did? He put the prince Siddhartha in all luxury and all comforts on this earth, all comforts and all luxury, so that worldly misery couldn't touch him. And he constructed Suddhodana's 6 palaces for 6 seasons, so that Siddhartha would not become what is called the mendicant, the sannyasin. But Siddhartha was fed up with this material comfort, material the luxury. So he was disgusted with all this. So one day he called his charioteer, bring out the chariot and take me out from this palace. I am fed up with all this. I like to go outside. I'll go around the city of Kapilavastu. And charioteer took him to the city of Kapilavastu. And while he was taking round the city of Kapilavastu, he came across the four sins. It is very important. It is a turning point in the life of Prince Siddhartha, where Prince Siddhartha. And what are the four sins? The four sins, I think all of you know, just I repeat, the four sins that first he came across a person lying on the roadside, crying with physical suffering. And Prince Siddhartha asked his charioteer, why this person is doing like this? What has happened to him? Then charioteer replied, sir, he is suffering from disease. What disease? Because Siddhartha never came across with such scene. So it is called disease, a disease. So it will come to me? Well, yes. It will come to everybody. It will be inevitable for everybody. The disease also will come to me? Yes, disease also will come to you. Then he came across another scene. The four people are carrying the dead body. Then Siddhartha, what is this? What they are carrying? Well, they are carrying dead body. Because they are dead. One person is dead. Oh, see, it's called death? Yes, it is called death. So it has come to me also? Yes, it will come to you also. One day you will also die. The Prince Siddhartha got perturbed. What is this? And next scene comes what is called a old man tottering with a stick. And what is that scene, the old man? He asked, Prince Siddhartha asked this charioteer, what is this? Why man is tottering? Why man is bent? He cannot walk properly. He said, charioteer replied, sir, this is called old age. It will also come to you. Don't worry. So after coming across the four scenes, Siddhartha realized that the world is full of dukkha, dukkha, dukkha. That is why I said, dukkham, dukkham, sarvam dukkham. Whole world is full of dukkha only. And how to get rid of dukkha? And how to cause of these great, what is called dukkha, trivida dukkha, all kinds of suffering and sorrows and worries and anxieties. What is the cause? And he realized that cause of dukkha is nothing but tanaha, in Sanskrit Trishna. The desire is the root cause of all dukkhas, dukkha, dukkha. So, if you want to have happiness, peace of mind, then don't run after material things, worldly things. Don't crave for desire of this thing and that thing. You control your desire, regulate your desire, moderate your desire. If you can do that, then you can realize yourself. And if you only realize yourself, then you can go beyond this birth and death and you can have real peace and happiness. With this, I thank you all for your patience hearing. Thank you very much. And I am very much happy to be with here, to be happy with you all in this ashrama, because they are providing me all comforts and hospitality. So thank you, the ashrama authorities also, and thank you to all devotees. So with this, I would like to conclude my speech by uttering the famous Vedic mantra, the Sarve Bhavantu Sukhina, Sarve Santu Niramaya, let all be healthy, let all be happy. Namaskar, Dhanyavad.